Hi, I'm Francesca, a registered nutritional therapist, and you're listening to another episode of the Empowered Perimenopause podcast. Welcome. My aim is to bring you down-to-earth, conversational episodes that help you develop a deeper understanding of how your body's changing in your 40s, and most importantly, how you can support yourself throughout this wonderful transitional phase of your life. Join me for my solo episodes and also episodes with guests for fun, fresh, truthful chat on all things health and happiness in your 40s. And now onto the episode. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Empowered Perimenopause podcast with me, Francesca. So this is episode number 3. And as I record this, it is September and I'm staring out the window at some really miserable weather. So there's nothing like just grey rain to signify that September is here and summer is over. And it always seems to do that like clockwork every year here in the UK. So anyway, I'm going to get into this episode today, which is all about the stages of perimenopause. So in the last episode, I was talking about there still being some confusion or misconceptions around the timing of perimenopause, with a lot of women still thinking that they're not really in perimenopause unless they're really close to menopause itself, so much later 40s or earlier 50s, when actually we're moving into this phase from mid to late 30s. So we're going to talk about the stages because it's such a long old phase where your hormones, symptoms and experiences are evolving throughout from the beginning right up till you eventually go 12 consecutive months without having a period, which is when you've reached menopause. That reaching of menopause lasts one day, 24 hours. And then from the next day, or let's say the 13th month of having, 12 without any periods, you're in the postmenopausal phase forever. So menopause itself is just a day. It's just when you can say, I've gone 12 consecutive months without having a period. Now you have reached menopause, and then it's postmenopause from there. And everything before that day is perimenopause. And so a woman's experience of perimenopause when she's, let's say, in that 12-month phase where she's waiting to say, I've gone 12 months without having a period, she's still technically perimenopausal. But her experience of perimenopause, the symptoms, the experiences, the challenges she might have are going to be very different to a woman who's 38 or 42 or 43 or 44, because they're in a different stage. They're still in perimenopause, but they're in a different stage of it. So that's what this episode is about. We're going to talk about the different stages, and then I'll talk about some of the most common first early sign symptoms that say you're in perimenopause, which will start to make hopefully more sense once I've spoken to you about the actual stages. So let's start with the very early stages, which is from around age. These are obviously rough ages. I can't say these are the exact ages, but, biologically, this is all quite approximate. So very early stages of perimenopause would be from around age 38 to early 40s. So, 41, 40, 41, 42. So around here, you might experience subtle changes related to the nervous system and your mood as progesterone levels are dropping. So I mentioned this in the previous episode where I kind of outlined what is changing hormonally and when and why. So the first hormonal change that tells us we're in perimenopause, or when we move into perimenopause, is that progesterone levels start to decline. That's the first thing. Nothing really happens with estrogen until a little bit later. So it's progesterone dropping first, and the symptoms that we might start to experience, which are usually quite subtle around this stage of it, so from kind of 38 to early 40s, would be very mild changes in mood, very subtle changes in things like confidence, sociability, if that's a word, is that the word? Sociability, how sociable we might feel. Our outgoing nature might change if we were always quite outgoing, and now we might start to feel that we want to stay in a bit more or just be on our own a little bit more, but very subtle. We might start to have fleeting anxiousness, feeling more sensitive to stress or kind of less resilient to stress. at this point, we usually have no change to our menstrual cycles. We're still having regular cycles if they're regular by nature. They're not really changing that much at all. So when I say that this particular, the loss of progesterone is leading to subtle changes related to our nervous system, we'll go into this in more detail in future episodes. But, you know, we're talking about anything that impacts the nervous system is essentially impacting our ability to deal with stress. It's impacting our mood, our ability to sleep well, whether we're irritable, whether we're anxious, things like that. So those are the early stages. Then we move on to early menopause. So this is from about early to mid 40s. So this could be age 40, 41, 42, 43, you know, right up to mid 40s. So this is where I am. I'm in the early perimenopause phase because I'm a few months, 4 or 5 months away from turning 45. And I started to first notice symptoms, I think around age 41, very subtle, similar to the ones I just described. So in the early perimenopause, which is early to mid 40s, progesterone is now dropping even more than it had subtly started to drop a few years ago, while estrogen remains high. So when I say remains high, I mean it remains the kind of ideally the optimal levels of estrogen that we have already been experiencing throughout our late 20s, all of our 30s, for example. So when I say it remains high, I mean it remains optimal, where it, you know, ideally should be. And in fact, it starts to get even higher. So I mentioned this in the previous episode, and I'll probably talk about it a lot. But here in the early perimenopause years, estrogen is actually getting higher than it's ever been before. Sometimes it climbs 3 times higher than it's ever been before. As part of the estrogen roller coaster, when we get the highs, they can be higher than ever before. So this is early to mid 40s. Because of these things, because of the drop in progesterone becoming more apparent and estrogen potentially being even higher than it ever has been, the menstrual cycle can start to change now even more. Well, it wasn't really changing until now. So now it does start to change. And it could be that it's getting shorter. So that's usually what's happening in your early to mid 40s. It's getting shorter in length. It could be anywhere from 1 day shorter up to 5 days shorter. So mine were always 28 days in my 30s. And from 41, they started to slowly eventually go down to 27 days. Now at 44 and a half or so, they are 26 days. And sometimes I am having 25 day cycles as well. So that is exactly where I am. The flow can become heavier now, sometimes with flooding and clotting. Definitely me. Mine's been getting heavier and heavier over the last 2 years. And I can say at 44 and a half, they're heavier than they've ever been, sometimes with flooding and clotting. Very annoying. Weight can start to creep up in this area as well. So early to mid 40s, weight starts to creep on. You might not be able to manage that as easily as you did in your 30s, and you're feeling frustrated about that. Not like thinking I haven't changed anything, I haven't changed how I eat, I haven't changed how I exercise, I haven't done more or less, you know, what's going on. Very, very common in this phase. And there could be some subtle changes to your hair or your skin. I haven't noticed anything like that at this point. So, you know, these things don't impact everybody, even, you know, the weight creeping up doesn't impact everyone. But these are just some things to look out for that could explain if you are experiencing these things. Then we've got mid to late perimenopause. So that's mid to late 40s, basically. So here, estrogen levels are fluctuating more wildly. So they've started their roller coaster a few years ago, but now this roller coaster is more erratic. So they're really fluctuating up and down. You've got the spikes where estrogen, again, can be 2 to 3 times higher than it's ever been before. So this is where I say there's this misconception as well that perimenopause means low estrogen. It doesn't. It depends what phase you're in. It means low estrogen if you're in the late phase, which we'll get to in a minute. Otherwise, it doesn't. So, yeah, so in this phase, mid to late 40s, you've got this wild roller coaster. And then you've got the kind of further and further decline in progesterone. So as I said, progesterone starts subtly to decline. So very small decline in progesterone from around age 38. Early to mid 40s, that decline gets more so. And then mid to late 40s, that decline's getting even more. So we're ovulating less and less, and or we're still ovulating, but making less and less progesterone from it each month because the ovulation just isn't as robust as it was before. And that just, that continues the older we get, basically through our 40s. But in the mid to late 40s phase, mid to late perimenopause, the wild fluctuation of the estrogen roller coaster results in neurological symptoms. So really, it's the kind of brain stuff, right? So it's the hot flushes and night sweats, because that's really all about your temperature control, which is all operated by the brain. The thermostat is essentially in the brain. So hot flushes, night sweats, vaginal dryness can be coming as well. And again, that can be up and down throughout the month rather than flatlined. And brain fog, things as well, you know, like memory issues, trouble with recall, remembering particular words that you want to say. And this is happening to me all the time when I'm in the last two episodes, I think, as well. Like, I'm just, everything I'm doing, whether it's talking to a client, talking to friends, my partner, talking on webinars, whatever it might be, there's always even now I can't find the word, there's always an incident where I'm just looking for a word and I'm like, I can't find the word. And you're thinking, okay, I'll just move on to a different word. But you're like, no, I know I need that word, but I can't find it. And it's so frustrating. It's never, ever happened to me before until now. So yeah, very much neurological brain stuff going on there with the roller coaster. And that's for, you know, various reasons. We've got the high one minute, the low the next, but also, so that's the kind of hot flushes and the night sweats. The brain fog, the cognition issues, memory issues, struggling to find a word, walking into a room and literally 2 seconds ago, you knew why you walked in there and now you have no idea. Like literally no idea. And you're thinking, okay, I'll retrace my steps. You know, these sorts of things happen to anyone at any stage in life sometimes, but when you're here at this stage of perimenopause, you realize this is actually, this, like, it's so apparent. So now I can't remember exactly. Oh yeah. So the point I really wanted to make was, because of the fluctuation, the erratic fluctuation of estrogen, when we get these really low points in the roller coaster, which could happen at any point in a day, it can make it very hard in that moment for glucose, which is the kind of preferred fuel source for our energy, to get into the brain. And in that moment, we can experience that brain fog, memory recall, cognition issue, because we're really struggling to get glucose into the cells of the brain, the neurons. And that is like a temporary insulin resistance situation. So we'll talk more about insulin resistance later in future episodes. But insulin resistance can be like a permanent thing where until we make the right changes, it doesn't go away. It's there. Or it can be temporary. And during perimenopause, it's usually temporary, like up and down as part of the roller coaster. Insulin resistance means that we struggle to get energy into the cells in the body and the brain. So it can be fatigue, low energy in that moment, just want to go to sleep, you know, the physical and mental side of it. So the erratic roller coaster of estrogen, again, it means that sometimes we'll have a night sweat or a hot flush and then they just go away and we don't have them. Some months we get breast pain and heavy periods with breast pain before our period is due and then a really heavy clotty period. And then the next month we don't get any breast pain and or we don't get the heavy period and we don't get the clots and the flooding. So, you know, you can have a hot flush on Tuesday last week and then not get any for a week or 2 weeks or a month. You know, it's just because of this roller coaster, it's just so up and down. So for example, if you were getting blood work done with a doctor, for example, and you were looking at FSH, follicle stimulating hormone, in blood work, which you don't need to run off and do, but if you were, you could see it go much higher than ever before sometimes, indicating that the brain is trying to communicate with the ovaries much, much harder. And the higher and the louder the brain is shouting down to the ovaries, which results in higher FSH in your blood work, it's because it has to shout louder and louder. And that could just be at that particular point in your cycle. This is why testing is really difficult. Unless you can test every single day, you don't really know if, oh, that's just where I was on that particular day versus this is where I actually am, you know, hormonally. And you know, because the next month FSH can be completely back down to normal the next time you test it, and your doctor's like, oh, I don't know, you know, if we didn't test again and find that it's back down to normal, we might say you're you're heading towards menopause. So that's why it's really hard to test. Like, a lot of people say, oh, can I test to see if I'm in menopause? Menopause literally is going 12 consecutive months without having a period, no menstrual cycles. Then you have hit menopause, then you're in postmenopause. That's how you know. That's the gold standard way to know, because it's a wild, erratic roller coaster until you get there. So testing, unless you can do it every single day, doesn't tell us too much. So in going back to this mid to late phase, which is mid to late 40s, this is also a time when your periods can start to become irregular as the cycle length gets longer, as ovulation starts to occur less and less. So you're making less to no progesterone each month. So now maybe instead of your cycles now at the shorter stage of sort of 25 days, they can now start to increase to 35 days, 45 days, 50 days. You might have two periods in the same month, or you might skip two periods and then have one, then have two in one month. You know, so it just becomes really erratic and in this phase, and you're not really sure kind of what's going on. Then late perimenopause to approaching final menstruation. So this is kind of like the fourth stage, if you like. This is the stage where you are making your way towards reaching menopause. So this would be late 40s into 50s. Everyone's age for actually reaching menopause is different. There is an average age of 51, but it really is, you know, give or take either side, a few, one or two or three or four or more years, depending on the person. I have a friend who is 54 and still having regular cycles every single month. She's nowhere near it. And then we have somebody at 48 who's on their way. So it really just depends on the person. But in this phase now, estrogen is now consistently lower. So this is where, yes, you can say perimenopause, I'm in a phase of perimenopause where estrogen is low, but there are stages, which I hope you can see now, where estrogen isn't low, it's higher, it's fluctuating, then it's getting lower and still fluctuating, and then it's consistently lower. This is when you're on your way to going 12 months. The turbulent fluctuations are actually over in this phase. You're waiting. You're almost at the 12-month mark of having had no period. You may have reached the 12-month mark, and you have moved into the most stable hormonal phase. So actually, once you've reached menopause, that's actually the calm after the storm. The storm is perimenopause. The rocky road is perimenopause. The stable, calm waters is menopause, because both hormones are low now, and then they're going to stay that way unless obviously you were to replace them with body identical hormone replacement therapy, but otherwise they're low. So it's the most stable phase. The instability is the erratic roller coaster where one minute is high, next minute it's low, and you haven't made progesterone this month, you have made it this month, and it's like, whoa, all of these symptoms of high, low, no, yes, you know, are just everywhere. So in this late perimenopause approaching phase, you're really starting to, you know, you're skipping your cycles, you're going 6 months, 9 months. But when you do have a period, the clock starts again, because you're just waiting to go 12 months without having one completely. So in this phase, it could be 3 to 4 months without getting one. Then you have one, then you have 6 months, then you get one. Research is showing that once you skip three cycles in a row, so you've gone 3 months without having one, you've got a significant chance of becoming menopausal within 4 years, but it's most likely within 2 years, really, is what the kind of research is showing. So that's the late phase of perimenopause. The brain to ovary communication is much more erratic and hormone output is much lower. So, you know, if you imagine you're on your way to going 12 months without a period, there's a lot of estrogen is erratic. There's probably not much, or if any, progesterone at this point, because the cycles that you do have in this time are very likely to be non-ovulatory. Therefore, there's no progesterone being made, because that's how it's made. But estrogen would be quite erratic, but very low and erratic. So you've got low level, you've got the symptoms of low estrogen, but you've also got symptoms of erratic estrogen. So your symptoms can be much more significant here. So that would be hot flushes, brain fog, you can't remember things like you used to, you have dry skin, joint pain, muscle pain, vaginal dryness, itchy ears, even the itchy stuff. Is that itchy ears is a thing of perimenopause, dry mouth, more depression, potentially anxiety, weight gain, cholesterol levels can be high if you were to check it on blood work. The continued decline in estrogen sort of bringing all of these things about. Now, this doesn't mean, oh my goodness, I am doomed when I get to this point, or I'm in this point. Oh my God, is this just going to be my life? It just is a potential, and it's a kind of explanation as to why, if you're resonating with these things, or if they do come up, you can be like, you know, you can say, well, okay, it's estrogen is fluctuating and it's very low, and therefore these are the symptoms that it brings. So it really is, as I mentioned in the last episode, a window of opportunity to start really, you know, to start ages ago, before now for sure, but looking after yourself more than you would have ever thought you should have been doing before. So if you're experiencing joint pains, for example, and muscle pains, what would you usually do for joint pains and muscle pains? And, you know, start doing more of those things. So we're going to get into the nitty gritty of all of the kind of supportive lifestyle and nutrition things that we can be doing as we go through future episodes. I really just wanted to use this episode to break down the different phases on what you might experience there. So whichever stage you're in, the key message is nutrition choices, lifestyle habits, you know, really including how you manage your stress and support your nervous system, because these are very much nervous system related symptoms, make a significant difference to how you experience these symptoms, a significant difference to their severity, their intensity, their frequency, their likelihood. So that's the, you know, the beauty of all of this. For some women, when estrogen is now genuinely so low and menopause is close or here, speaking with their doctor about the use of body identical estrogen and progesterone, if you haven't already started to take that, because some women will start taking progesterone while they're still like even sort of mid-40s, while they're nowhere near reaching menopause, but because progesterone is just getting lower and lower each month, they want that support. And that's definitely something I'll be considering in a few months' time. I'm going to be talking to a doctor about that. So it can be really beneficial to discuss those things with your doctor. But that again is for another episode. Everybody's, you know, take on that can be different depending on their personal circumstances. But it's definitely something to consider being well versed on as to whether it is right for you or not. So again, considering talking to your doctor about using body identical forms of estrogen and progesterone can help with the management of symptoms, but it's also about appreciating the health risks associated with losing estrogen, which is basically the four kind of big health areas: brain health, risk of dementia, heart health, bone health, and also insulin resistance and kind of increases that can lead to increases in cholesterol and things like that, which risk, you know, heart health and type 2 diabetes. So we'll talk about these on future episodes, but that's why it's not, you know, HRT isn't just about management of symptoms, it's about protecting health as well. Nothing, you know, you may as well, you still have to do the nutrition and lifestyle stuff. And the replacement therapy is like the icing on the cake, putting those hormones back in your body and preventing, you know, health risks. But it isn't one or the other. It's both. It's definitely nutrition and lifestyle habits to support the body, and maybe HRT as well, if that's what you'd like to do. But it's never just one or the other. Okay, so let's go back to the earlier stages of perimenopause. So the we're talking kind of 38 to mid-40s, and take a closer look at some of the most common symptoms that women start experiencing in the early stages that say they are perimenopausal. So disrupted sleep. So for example, you could sleep and now suddenly you can't sleep. You can't fall asleep. You can't stay asleep. You wake up in the night, maybe 1 o'clock. It could be 2, 3, 4 a.m. All of those times, or just one of those times, and you just can't get back to sleep like you used to. This is definitely how I first started to show signs of perimenopause around 41. I just suddenly found that I just wasn't able to sleep anymore like I used to. And that went on for about 6 or so months until I really knew what to put in place to support that. And now, thankfully, almost 45, I have really good sleep still. And I'm hoping that it will stay that way because I know how to support it. And we'll have a whole episode on sleep. Then we've got cycle length changing. So usually, as I've mentioned already, they get shorter at first. So this is really common in the early stages. They tend to get longer and skipped in the later stages. But in the earlier stages, they'll go from, for example, mine went from 28 days in my 30s down to 27 days around age 42. And then about a year later, they went down to 26 days. And now I'm at 26 or 25 days most months. Brain fog. This isn't literal fog in the brain, like a lot of like you would think, but it's more things I've already mentioned, like issues with memory, not thinking as clearly as you used to, not remembering things as well as you used to. I've always been known to be so good with like remembering names, remembering dates, remembering. Everyone used to say, oh God, you just remember everything. And now no one says that to me anymore because I just can't remember things as well as I used to. Attention or focus issues as well that maybe just weren't there before. You might find that you're not feeling as calm or as patient. You're a little bit irritable. Things that weren't bothering you before might just suddenly start bothering you, start getting on your nerves, as they say. Executive thinking can become, you know, not as sharp. So you just don't feel as sharp anymore cognitively. We have a lot of receptors in the brain for estrogen and also for progesterone. And then when progesterone starts declining in this early phase and estrogen now is maybe started on its roller coaster ride, all of the parts of our brain that would take in this estrogen and progesterone and use it to be really sharp now just can't be as sharp as they used to. They can also get a bit like confused. They're like, oh, you know, I'm just not getting as much hormone as I used to get at the right time. So maybe they're sort of preserving energy and therefore you're feeling less sharp and you can't really remember as well as you used to. So mood swings as well, as I've mentioned already, irritability, just feeling more irritation about certain things, even like noises have suddenly started to, like certain noises now I cannot tolerate. I've always hated motorbikes. The sound of motorbikes, I've always hated it. But at this stage in my life, it drives me insane. So if I'm at home, we've got a patio door that goes out onto our garden and we have a quite busy main road behind our garden. And honestly, during the summer when that door's open and I'm in the home and a motorbike goes past, there are times I could just scream or I could just jump over the fence and find the bike and tell him off. So that's, you know, something that just wasn't the case before. It annoyed me a little bit before, but now it's like, oh my God, I just can't. So little things like that, and feeling anger, unexplained anger, or just, you know, just irrational anger, even rage, usually before your period's due. Depression, low mood, just not really knowing why you're feeling low. And then the next day, feeling fine. Anxiety is a big one. Low grade or high grade, it's usually low grade anxiety in the early stages of perimenopause. Very kind of like low level, maybe a little bit of fear that you're not really understanding what it's for. I've never been someone that suffers with anxiety, but since moving into my 40s, I definitely do have, there's some certain things that just make me feel anxious. My mind races and I'm kind of thinking a lot about, oh, but what if? And I just wasn't really like that before. Heart flutters as well. So some women can feel like they're panicking. They don't know why they're panicking and they can feel a sense of that a panic attack is coming, but it never does. And their heart's like fluttering. So I get a lot of heart flutters actually. Unexplained, you know, just feeling uneasy. Progesterone is a really calming hormone. It calms the brain. It calms the nervous system. So as this is now starting newly to decline, very low in the early stages of perimenopause, it's only declining in a small amount, and then that decline gets more so as we move through our 40s. But because it wasn't declining before and now it is, we're suddenly feeling, this is why the first stage symptoms are very subtle and they can become more so as we move further through. So hot flushes, as I've mentioned already, night sweats, these can really disrupt our sleep, you know, physically, because not only do they wake you up because you're feeling hot, but if you've sweated so much that you have to actually get up and change your bed clothes, maybe you have to change your sheets, then, you know, that's going to wake you up for a long time. You might even need to put a light on, and that's going to wake you up because that's sending a signal to your brain that it's time to wake up. So melatonin shuts off and then you can't get back to sleep and your mind's racing. So that is can be a real disruptive one for sleep for different reasons. And that's an estrogen dip. And the bigger the dip, the more intense the sweats. But we can experience that as early as early 40s. I have never had a night sweat as yet. I get a hot flush throughout the day at times. But yeah, it varies from person to person what they might experience or not. So I mentioned already a really random one, which is actually having itchy ears. But it can affect a lot of women. I've, again, not had it myself as yet, but the drops in estrogen. And remember, we're talking about the drops as part of a roller coaster. We're not talking about a declining, like genuinely having low levels of estrogen at like 41. You very, very unlikely do not have low levels of estrogen at that stage. It's not impossible, but the average person probably doesn't. But if you're, we're talking about parts of the estrogen roller coaster, the dip. And that moment where you have low estrogen can cause the kind of the mucous membranes in the ear to dry out and therefore start to itch. So again, you could have an itchy ear one day, and then the next day for another 2 weeks or month, you never have it. And then it comes again, and then you never have it again. So that's when you're sitting there thinking, what is this? I just don't know. So joint pain I've mentioned as well. So it could be shoulders, knees, it could be hips. The estrogen is lubricating. So when we have the drops in the roller coaster, we might experience, you know, if we're on a particularly lower part of our menstrual cycle, lower estrogen part, which is a few days before our period's due and the first few days of our bleed. And we also have a bit of a drop in estrogen just before we have a spike in estrogen before we ovulate, and then it can dip again temporarily. So that it's normal for estrogen to dip, you know, ebb and flow throughout the menstrual cycle. But in perimenopause, when the roller coaster started, those lower natural lower points can just be even lower. And then we'll get that, you know, the kind of achy days because we don't have as much lubrication that day. Weight gain as well. This is a huge one, very frustrating for a lot of women. It's complicated because there's lots of different factors that will play into this, the physiology of weight gain in our 40s. And I'll explain that on a separate episode. But essentially, we're becoming more prone to being insulin resistant. So the cells in the body and the brain can become ignoring of insulin when insulin knocks on the doors and asks them to take in glucose. Resistant means they don't listen. They don't take it in. So that's a really common reason for excess belly fat, or like even if you're noticing sort of, yeah, change in shape, change in body shape where you are, your waist size basically is increasing. Our ability to burn fat changes as we move into our 40s. You know, and this can be said for men and women because we naturally start to lose muscle mass, a certain amount of muscle mass every year from around age 30, really. And that's actually a situation called sarcopenia, which affects everybody. But women in perimenopause will kind of have a tendency to lose more muscle and a little bit quicker. And we also start to increase what's known as visceral fat. So this is the fat that's kind of like deep around your organs, around the middle. You don't necessarily see it or grab it. So someone can have, a skinny person, for example, can have a lot of visceral fat. You don't have to be overweight to have lots of it. It's buried kind of deeper, and it's actually an inflammatory active fat. So that can also increase a person's risk of gaining weight in their 40s. So what we really have to appreciate is that the chances of the symptoms of perimenopause and the severity of them, it is within our control. Yes, this is biology and these things will happen potentially, but the intensity of them, you know, how impactful they are for you can be controlled by various things that we'll do with our diet and our lifestyle. And that's what's really great about this. And that's how I know as well that at almost 45, I do think I'll never know for sure, obviously, but I do think my symptoms could be so much more so than they are. They are still pretty subtle and I can deal with them because I know what's going on and I know, okay, I shouldn't have done that, or I should do this, or and I'm quite happy to do the things I need to do because they make me feel better. They make me feel great. And I'm happy to make them part of my behavior, my day-to-day behavior. So nutrition and lifestyle habits are key. They're so key now more than ever. You know, I'd say as soon as we pass 30, it's so much we need to start making some changes to our nutrition and lifestyle. We need to make that a priority more so than we maybe needed to in our 20s, because we could just get away with so much more. But from 30, we should definitely be looking at those. But from 40, 100%, we have to make changes. It's just really key. It's also never too late. So if you're, you know, listening to this and you're 49 or you're older, it's never too late to start making changes and feeling better. And obviously we all have choices. There's people who don't want to make changes, and that is their choice. I think if you were one of those people, you wouldn't be listening to this episode, this podcast anyway. But there are definitely people out there who just don't. They're like, yeah, whatever. Oh, really? There's things I can do. Oh, well, I don't want to do them. You know, I don't do anything. I don't want to change anything. And that is up to them. But I just want to make sure that women are making decisions from a place of empowerment, so that they know what they can do. They know the physiology. They know what might happen. They know what they can do to support it. And then it's up to them to decide, do I want to do this? You know, am I prepared to do this? Am I happy to do this? So I hope this episode, what I've explained, has been insightful, helpful, or interesting in some way. Do let me know. I'll put in the show notes where you can find me, and stay tuned for coming episodes where we're going to get into more of the nitty-gritty of supportive habits and interventions for everything that I'm talking about. And thank you for listening, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye-bye. If you found this episode helpful, then please share it with anyone else who you think could benefit, and consider leaving a rating and a review, as this will help the podcast to reach and help more people. And if you need more guidance on your own health journey, you can grab my free guide, 6 Steps to Mastering Your Hormones in Your 40s, over at francescaliparotti.com, where you can sign up for your free copy, or you'll also find the link in the show notes.